¿Quieres mejor internet? Cox Internet de 300 megas tiene las velocidades rápidas y confiables que buscas. Perfecto para streaming y gaming y trabajar desde casa. Yeah. Todo por solo $45 al mes cuando agregas Cox Mobile. Incluye equipo de Wi-Fi y garantía de precio de 2 años en tu plan. Yeah. No esperes. Cámbiate hoy a Cox. Requiere Cox Mobile Gig Unlimited. Garantía de precio no incluye impuestos y cargos. Velocidad de datos móviles se reduce después de 20 gigas al mes.
All right, hey everybody, it's Tim Miller from The Bulwark here with my colleague Bill Kristol. We have a special Tuesday night election edition, and Bill Kristol's home Commonwealth of Virginia, we can make an official call here that the yes vote, which means that the side that favored the referendum that redistricted the state of Virginia and redrew the state in such a way that it might end up being a 10-1 Democratic majority. That referendum passed this evening. There were some concerns in the pro-democracy circles about this, but the no campaign was very aggressive and well-funded. And so a lot to unpack there, Bill. You're on the ground of Virginia. You made the case passionately on a couple of shows for why, even as a non-gerrymandering guy, you think in this case it was worthwhile to support the referendum. What's your big takeaway?
Yeah, I didn't expect to be having an election night discussion on Tuesday, April 21st, but, you know, right. This is Trump's America. Strange things happen, right? And the Virginia Constitution required that they go to the voters to change the previous, I think, constitutional amendment, which had set up a non-gerrymandering, non-partisan districting, which was actually worked well and produced a 6-5 break and contiguous districts and all that. But then Texas redistricted, Trump's pushing it in other states, and Spanberger, the new Democratic governor, thought, you know, Virginia should play its part in checking this Republican attempt to keep control of the House by one-sided gerrymandering. So the Democrats gerrymandered. Looks like it's going to pass by about 4 points. So a little close for comfort. Spanberger won by 15, obviously, a year ago. Well, not a year ago, what, 5-6 months ago. So some Spanberger voters, Virginia, Northern Virginia here has some good government Democratic types who believe that you shouldn't do gerrymandering, and I think stuck to their belief over their partisan interest, and I would say also over the interest in stopping Trump, but yeah, you know, it's another
that
issue.
May be true, but in Arlington, the yes vote is currently plus 60. So
yeah, well,
they did have Assad like numbers in Arlington. Maybe
they do. No. The Northern Virginia saved. I mean, so what happened basically is, first of all, there's a couple things. Surprisingly big turnout. Looks like it's going to be a little over 3 million, or I think it's 3.4 in the gubernatorial race. So we're having the same level of turnout as the high turnout, almost the high turnout we had a few months ago with the wave election in November of 2025. So a lot of mobilization on both sides, an effective no campaign, a sophisticated one with smart messaging, and they had appeals to black voters. This was going to dilute their votes because they're going to be stuck in other districts than they're used to and so forth. So they did their best, the no campaign. The yes campaign was pretty good, I would say. What it tells me is we are in this was the national environment. I mean, this is Virginia, 2/3 of Virginians voted in 2020 for the previous redistricting. And that was the actual sentiments of Virginia are probably 2-1 for let's have nonpartisan, redistricting. And so they overcame that because of the threat of Trump. And I was one of those who thought they should, and I voted that way. And obviously a lot of other people, thought so too.
Yeah, if you pull up the map here, and it kind of tells the story of Virginia, and it's extremely, this is a straight partisan vote. You have all the way out in what they call South Side and Southwest Virginia,
right.
Just deep red, which is representing the no side here with a couple of exceptions, Roanoke City, Danville, which has a lot of black residents and South Side. But then you kind of go into a swing area over in Virginia Beach, you know, where things are much closer. And then you have Richmond and Northern Virginia running up big numbers on the yes side. And like that basically is a breakdown of the state. It's why Democrats have won, with the exception of that first Biden midterm. It's why, you know, the state of Virginia has gone basically blue. I guess the only, to your point on, you know, the national environment drove this, and it was a swing of whatever, 2/3 in favor of nonpartisan redistricting. You know, that'd be one way to look at it. Another way to look at it is, if there was such a widespread backlash against Trump as we are hoping for, you know, maybe you'd see a bigger blowout there tonight. And so I do think that it signals that there's yet more work to be done on that front.
No, I very much agree with that. I mean, yeah, a couple of points along those lines. I mean, it was striking. I looked at some of the counties. I don't know the state so well to really make a really fine, granular judgment on this. I think there were parts of central Virginia that did not like being swooshed into districts that are now going to be dominated by the Northern Virginia part of the district up here in Fairfax County and Arlington, and are going to have representatives from up here, most likely. And so there was a little bit of more of a backlash among some of those areas around the margins weren't just high, including in places like Virginia Beach, as they where there wasn't a margin this time. And I think Spanberger won it by 12 or something. So there was a little more erosion down there. But Northern Virginia came through.
The Shenandoah and that kind of area end up going very red, yeah.
Bulwark Takes is sponsored by ZocDoc. I've got young kids at home. I know health issues don't follow a neat 9-to-5 schedule. In fact, sometimes it's 9 p.m. to 5 a.m. With ZocDoc, having no time to book a doctor's appointment is actually no problem. So when you don't have any time for yourself until 11 p.m., cut your finger making a midnight snack, or binge watch a medical drama and unlock a new health fear, you can go to ZocDoc anytime, 24/7, and find a doctor you love to make your health plan happen. Yep, even if it's way after hours. ZocDoc is a free app and website that helps you find and book high-quality in-network doctors so you can find someone you love. We're talking about booking in-network appointments with more than 150,000 providers across all 50 states. Whether you're looking for dermatology, dentistry, primary care, eye care, or one of the other 200-plus specialties offered on ZocDoc, you can easily search by specialty or symptom to build the care team that's right for you. Appointments made through ZocDoc happen fast, typically within just 24 to 72 hours of booking. You can even score same-day appointments. Stop putting off those doctor's appointments and go to ZocDoc.com/bulwarktakes to find and instantly book a doctor you love today. That's ZocDoc.com/bulwarktakes. ZocDoc.com/bulwarktakes. Thanks, ZocDoc, for sponsoring this message.
Yeah, so there was both the red vote and then the kind of, we're sort of annoyed to be stuck in some Northern Virginia district for the next 4 years. Whatever. That was sort of reasonable enough, I suppose. But I was, you know, what this race looks like the most is the Jay Jones Attorney General race from 2025. Remember that? Yeah. So he was the weakest Democratic candidate by a long shot, running against the strongest Republican, the incumbent Mayeres for AG. Jones had all kinds of issues. Jones won by about 6.5 points while Spanberger was winning by 15 plus, I think. And that really showed what a wave November 2020 five was. Now, you're right. I mean, this is less of a margin than Jones, and it doesn't show that the entire country is up in arms about Trump that it's going to just do everything it can to stop his party from controlling the House. I agree with that. It does show there's more work to be done. It's very consistent with the generic ballot polling right now nationally, which is, you know, +7, +8. You know, don't you think? I feel like that's a kind of pretty good for Democrats, but not quite at blowout levels.
Yeah, I think that's right. And if you look at the Jay Jones thing, and, you know, look, at least in that case, you know, there is a bulwark split on the other way around. I mean, some of us were like, I would not vote for Jay Jones, given his personal behavior, which is horrific. And I think that's a different case than this ballot initiative.
Yeah, this isn't a personal.
You know, but it's interesting, though, to use that example, which means that there are, like, some people in the Democratic pro-democracy Spanberger Harris coalition in Virginia who decided they couldn't vote for Jay Jones or wouldn't vote for this ballot initiative. And if you look at the Jones, I just pulled this up, Jones map, and kind of compare it to the map of this ballot initiative, you know, it is obviously pretty similar, but as you're saying, kind of in central and south, like kind of south of Richmond and you know, around Roanoke in the middle of Virginia, there are some areas that Jones won that this referendum went down.
Yeah, so I think that is the kind of just the not liking being in Northern Virginia. Yeah. No, so I mean, the truth of the, so if this was ends up around +4, 4.5, maybe, I would think, percent. Spanberger won by 15. If the Democrats run reasonably attractive candidates, which they will here in Virginia, I believe, there's some primaries, we won't know. And then around the country, presumably the truth is somewhere in between the kind of, I think it's pretty good, I guess. The more I think about it, this was uphill in various, a little more uphill than people realized in various ways. Also, the sense of urgency had kind of dissipated because people think the Democrats are going to win the House pretty easily. And so it wasn't like, you know, if you had seen a lot of national polls with the House even in the generic ballot. I think you might have had a little more urgency among some of these Democrats, but they were able to vote there with they thought was their, you know, their principles and so forth, or stay home in some cases, probably.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't know. I don't overthink it. It's one referendum. It's one state. It's one moment in time. But I'd say it's consistent with a very strong Democratic year. But it's not, you know, it's not one of these amazing blowouts where they're running, you know, 25 points ahead of where they should be and all that kind of thing.
Yeah, right? I agree with that. So two other thoughts and takeaways that I have. Number one, just to emphasize your point about how there was challenge in selling this and there was like urgency in some ways. And, you know, a lot of the people felt like this had already been beaten back with what California did. And so I had, you know, Suhas Subramaniam on the pod about a week ago. And I forget what he said on the pod versus when we were chatting. He's a Tulane grad. So I got to see him down here in person a couple months ago, but the internal polls were concerning. Like they the yes side of this referendum thought that they might lose ton of money on the other side. They were using old quotes from Obama and Spanberger to make it seem like they were against it. If you're a low information voter, not following it that closely, you know, some people conceivably could have been persuaded or even tricked by that. And so they were worried about this. So I think the fact that they end up with a small but comfortable win is an expectations beat on what they were seeing internally. And my main takeaway, though, like my biggest picture of all this, like taking off the campaigns and elections nerd hat, you know, and just like looking at the biggest, you know, biggest picture takeaway, it's really a huge win and an exclamation point for the response that the Democratic Party and the pro-democracy movement had to Donald Trump and his cronies' attempts to rig the midterm elections. And they're going to keep trying other things, but I think that this is important. We should learn the lesson from this moment that, you know, there were at times there are people who are fatalist or, you know, not believing that fighting was worth it or critiquing the Democratic Party and saying the Democratic Party likes to have meetings more than they like to actually do things and they won't actually have the balls to push back on this. And like those naysayers were wrong. I got, you know, you've got to give credit to Spanberger, Louise Lucas, Gavin Newsom, and others who said, no, screw you. You know, we're not going to bog this down in interest group politics and red tape. We're going to punch you back in the nose and, you know, we'll see how the chips fall. And it worked. They counterpunched back to Trump. And in the end, their effort to, I guess maybe it's not fully rigged, jury rig the midterms, you know, by putting their thumb on the scale and trying to redraw districts in a way that was more favorable to them. That attempt has failed. We can say that officially tonight, April 21st. And will they do some other things to try to mess with the midterms? Of course. But, you know, their first gambit is an L. And I think that's a good kind of lesson to take tonight.
No, I think it's a very useful, you know, 30,000 foot perspective, yeah. I mean, real perspective, though, of, you know, the big picture here. And the one only footnote I'd add is for Newsom to do this in California was consistent with his own personal ambitions and sort of he wanted to be the leader of the Democratic resistance. He's now going governor. Spanberger got elected, huge margin. There was pressure on her not to do this. She had bipartisan support. She's a moderate. She should be governing for the whole Virginia has this, you know, tradition of sort of bipartisanship to some degree, a little more than some other states. It wasn't maybe necessary. You really did have to jerry rig the districts to have them go like 100 miles down, you know, in the state and stuff. And she did it. And they pulled it off. And it does, you know, are one of your favorite things in mind. You know, centrist Democrats can be aggressive anti-Trump Democrats too. Yep. Spanberger and the Democratic Party in Virginia, which is pretty moderate on the whole, and the Democratic electorate in Virginia, which is, you know, not, which is a moderate Democratic electorate, as Democratic electorates go, you know, came through on this. So I think, I think the big picture is sort of like with no kings and like with other things that have been happening in special elections. And people.
And I would just say it's important to just say it. The Democrats played hardball and won.
Yeah.
And that's good. Like there is they have a brand problem. I mean, I was watching, I think it was an interview of Graham Platner where the interviewer, they're talking about some poll of Maine residents and they're like, what do you think about the Democratic Party? And I can't remember exactly what it was, but it was like mushy and weak willed and whatever. And it's like, this was a case where that's not true. They played hardball politics. They won. You know, there sometimes there can be a, you know, you can overdo hardball politics. Like there could be situations where hardball politics is not called for, where, you know, cooler heads are better to prevail. This was not one of those cases. Like they played hardball politics against Trump. They won. And as a result, and the House of Representatives, as like election this November, is basically in the bag, and the fight turns to the Senate.
And they did so. They had to do it so because of the Constitution, but they did so by going to the voters and winning referendum. Pretty different from Texas, where they jam it through already gerrymandered state legislature to then have more gerrymandering of the congressional races, right? I mean, so in that respect, I think it has it's hardball, but it's Democratic hardball. A small D Democratic hardball.
Amen. All right. That's Bill Kristol, a winner and a Virginian on the right side of the referendum this evening in the Commonwealth. We appreciate everybody. We'll be back. What's next on your agenda this week, Bill? You got morning shots tomorrow?
I get to write something for tomorrow morning, and Iran, Virginia, an awful lot of news going on, you know. But
we'll see y'all soon. All right. Peace.